Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you a story from the book Hearts and Minds Uplifted, entitled Giving Up the Attachment to Fame and Personal Gain, by a Chinese practitioner in the U.S.
Giving Up the Attachment to Fame and Personal Gain, by a Chinese practitioner in the U.S. While I was working in New York in May of 1997, I watched Teacher Lee's entire 9-day video series without sleep. I rejoiced at being able to find this great teacher and learn the purpose of being a human and the principles of cultivation practice. Soon afterward, I borrowed copies of Teacher Lee's lectures and Falun Dafa books. Though I had read all the Dafa books and practiced the exercises daily, I did not understand how to apply cultivation practice in everyday life. In the beginning, I seldom joined the local group study or experience sharing, as I had read Xuan Falun several times and thought that I understood it pretty well. Later, I did participate in group discussion and found that I also went through some tribulations faced by other practitioners, but I had not treated them as a practitioner should by letting go of my personal feelings. I did not try to understand and was even confused. Why did other practitioners go through tribulations one after another, while I did not experience any? In fact, it was not that I did not face any tests, but rather that I did not act according to DAFA's requirements. When faced with a hardship or tribulation, I neither examined myself for the cause, nor did I accept it as an opportunity for progress. I would assess the difficulty in the manner of an ordinary person and look for a way out. So time and again, I missed opportunities for improving my character. Not until this realization hit me did I realize the importance of group study and practice. In such a cultivation environment, practitioners are able to share experiences to encourage each other and improve together. This is especially good for getting rid of our attachments, and it is the fastest way for improving ourselves. Teacher Lee said, quote, "To tell you the truth, the entire cultivation process for a practitioner is one of constantly giving up human attachments," unquote, Xuan Falun. From then on, I began to regularly join group study and exercise practice. In the past few years, competition between long-distance telephone companies has become more intense. They employ various means to attract customers, such as rate reductions, monthly fee waivers, and even cash rewards. Favorable terms given by one carrier were bettered by another. At first, I was unwilling to switch telephone companies because I did not want the hassle. I thought, how can I get another's money without a good reason? Then I was told that it only took a few minutes to switch companies. My family would not only enjoy lower rates, but also get a cash reward. At that time, I was laid off and did not have much to do, so I decided to give it a try. After one attempt, I immediately reaped the benefits. But 2 to 3 weeks after I switched companies, another carrier called and offered even more favorable terms. The company representative even said, "What are you worrying about?" I was saying to myself, "It is not I who asked for it, and this is the way they do business. Don't worry about it." They are happy, and I'm happy too. So in just 2 months, I switched telephone companies 3 times and felt pleased with myself. Not long afterward, the telephone bill came. I looked at it and wondered what was going on. How could only 2 to 3 long-distance calls cost $300? The company had a rule that if customers switched to their service and did not stay for a full 3 months, not only would they have to return the original cash award, but they would also be charged at the highest rate. With some calculation, I found that all the money I made by switching telephone companies now had to be paid out. I suddenly realized that, as Teacher Lee says, no loss, no gain. I realized that this was a test to see if I coveted material gain, but I did not understand and failed the test. Instead, I traded my virtue in exchange for favorable benefits and did not treat myself as a practitioner. This incident greatly exposed my attachment to material gain. I still remember when I first began to learn Dafa. I had said to myself that the crux of Falun Dafa cultivation is to assimilate to the cosmic characteristic of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, and to get rid of human attachments to fame, material interest, and sentimentality. At that time, I thought that I was not keen on fame or material interests. I thought my cultivation should focus on letting go of sentimentality instead. It seems now the so-called not keen on fame or material interest was simply from an average person's point of view. Having learned Dafa, I must live up to a higher standard. I used to work in New York, but due to company restructuring, many of the staff were laid off. I also lost my job, so I returned to Boston. At the time, I had just started studying Dafa. I wasn't too worried and vigorously started to look for a new job. I thought that since I started learning the teachings late, an arrangement would be made to allow me time to catch up. From then on, every day, I would practice the exercises, read the teachings, and watch Teacher Lee's lecture videos. Half a year went by. Others had already found jobs, but I still had not settled down. It was not that there were no companies interested in me. In those few months, I had roughly 10 job interviews. Some companies had even gone through all the procedures and were only waiting to choose a good date for me to begin the job. But for some unknown reasons, my starting date was postponed again and again. I simply could not start a new job. In the beginning, I found many objective reasons for my predicament. The companies merged and froze the payroll. Managers left the company. The plan for new hiring changed, etc. I experienced every one of the above. Then came the Asian financial crisis, and many financial firms began massive layoffs. For myself, who specialized in Asian economies, it was yet another blow. I considered myself to be a good person and did not have strong attachments to fame or material interest, and did not seek high living standards. I thought, wherever it is or whatever it does, as long as the job utilizes my specialty, and as long as the salary is commensurate with my experience and capabilities, I would be content. But I did not realize, however, I was obstructed in the improvement of my character due to this way of thinking. One night, I received a telephone call from an executive director of a large investment firm. He said that I was recommended to fill a position analyzing Asian economies and stocks. After we spoke, I felt the job fit me very well, as it suited my strengths and specialty. He was also very satisfied and offered to arrange an interview with his associates, but as the discussion went further, a conflict emerged. When the topic of Asian stocks and economies came up, I totally forgot myself and acted as if I were an authority. I started talking bombastically and even argued with him. Each sentence was filled with a mentality of showing off and competing. My daughter later described my conversation to me. If it was written down, every word would be in bold, and each sentence would have an exclamation mark. My wife also said, "With your way of talking, it would be surprising if anyone would hire you. You have had so many interviews. Why were they all unsuccessful? You should look inside yourself for answers." That's right. Teacher Lee said that when there is a conflict, you should look inward instead of outward. How could I have spoiled such a great opportunity? When recalling the entire course of the phone interview, I found that my words were filled with the attachment to fame, and I exploited every opportunity to show that I was professional and an expert. I was secretly jealous that others were better than I was. When facing a conflict, I was arguing for my self-esteem to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. That night, I thought a lot. Seeking fame, status, benefits, and recognition from society are attachments that are easily detected. Through studying the Falun Dafa teachings, I have become less concerned about fame and material interests. But my attachment to fame had deep roots going back to elementary school when I began competing for class rankings. After I started working, I was seldom satisfied with my own position and was always ready to switch to a better one. I thought that I was better than others and used every opportunity to flaunt my knowledge and abilities. I wanted others to see me as someone amazing and extraordinary. This kind of attachment to fame and material interests is more subtle and not as easily detected. That is why I used to always feel unfortunate and that others didn't understand me. I recognize that according to the standards of Daffa's principles, I not only failed to relinquish the attachment to fame and material interests, but the attachment had deep roots and permeated every aspect of my life. Often when I met a new friend or colleague, I would naturally ask which school he graduated from and the ranking of the department. Such attachments to fame also affected my child's education. There seemed to be a general understanding that she would not attend any college other than Harvard or MIT. This invisibly generated unnecessary pressure for her, and thus for some time she reported only the good news and not the bad for fear that she might be criticized for not meeting her parents' expectations. Was I teaching her something good or bad? In thinking about this, I suddenly realized that the entire process of finding a job was in fact the best opportunity to cultivate myself. In such a process, my attachments to fame and material interests were fully displayed. Through looking inward, my anger cooled. Not long afterward, I finally got a position at a financial firm in Boston. Master Lee said, quote, "As a human being, you're a good person only if you can follow this universe's characteristic of Zen Shen Ren," unquote, Juan Fulan. Master Lee also said, quote, "As a practitioner, if you assimilate yourself to this characteristic, you are one that has attained the Tao. It's just such a simple principle," unquote, Juan Fulan. After considering the three virtues of Zen Shen Ren are truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, I found that I was the worst at forbearance. But even then, I didn't think carefully about why I could not forbear. I thought at the time that if someone hit or cursed me, I would probably be able to endure it, because I learned from the Daffa teachings that I had to do this. I also thought that I may not be able to truly remain unmoved in my heart. I felt that I should improve step by step, but since my character did not improve, whenever a tribulation came, I would not be able to forbear. In order to save face, I would always grumble and talk back. It was only after the tribulation that I realized that I should have forborne. The reason why I couldn't stay unmoved in my heart was that I didn't improve my character and dig down to the fundamental reason of why I could not forbear. After 2 years of cultivation, I gradually realized that the reason I could not endure setbacks was that I was still attached to fame and personal gain. When I encountered a tribulation, I never looked inward, but always looked externally for reasons, trying to give myself some evidence that I was right. That was why I had to reason with others until they agreed with me. If I couldn't reach my goal, then it was impossible for me to continue to forbear. Outwardly, it is not being able to forbear, yet from a deeper level of understanding, it is also not possessing enough compassion. Saving face exposes the attachment to fame. When one competes and fights to save face or to protect his own material interests, one will not show compassion or consideration for others. So that's why there is compassion and forbearance, and why, when I didn't possess enough compassion, I would not be able to be broad-minded, nor be able to always forgive others' mistakes, or let go of material interests. As a practitioner, I should act in accordance with Daffa's principles and think more of others. Only in this way will I be able to look inward when encountering tribulations. In the process, I shall upgrade my character, remove all my attachments, assimilate to the characteristic of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and quickly return to my true self.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.